Welcome to the 182nd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. Welcome. I am a plant-based cardiologist, an endurance athlete, and I live in Southwest Florida, and I just finished Ironman Chattanooga. It was my sixth Ironman. This one was a little different. It was the third Chattanooga Ironman that we've been to. This one, the swim got canceled on Thursday before the race because of all the bands of rain off of the recent hurricane, and the waters were up about 6 feet. Currents were bad. Logs were in the water. So for the safety of the people watching the swimmers and the swimmers themselves, it was decided early on to cancel. Even part of the run had to be rerouted because it was underwater as well. So they had an athlete meeting and told us all that. It was my first time having a swim canceled. The bike went out on a rolling start, so two bikes at a time every 5 seconds over the mat, over 2,000 people. They actually kind of grouped the people's numbers. The women were kind of up towards the front and, there was kind of age groupings in the numbers. So I was kind of went off with all my own age group, certainly with the women and even my age group. So for the first time in an Ironman, you could kind of see the competition because when you're in the water, you never know where anybody is. So that was interesting. It was a little anticlimactic in that, just like ready to go, here we go. But I felt really good and was really excited, and there was a little construction in the first few miles and hit a few bumps, and the next thing I knew, I had a flat tire at about 3.5 miles in there. I was like, oh, I hope this isn't true. I stopped, and certainly it was. I had new tires. I had new tubes. I was kind of hoping that maybe the bump had hit, I had just knocked my valve loose. So the first thing I did, it was a rear tire. So you have to take the rear tire off with the chain, got the bike on the ground and got the rear tire off. I thought, well, I'm going to try to put a little CO2 in it. Maybe it's just the valve and it just, knocks some of the air out of it. Cause I didn't hear the real pop, as a flat tire. So I did that and I put the tube, the tire, and the wheel up to my ear, and I could hear air coming out. So it's like, oh, I got to change. And so I pulled the first tube out, and I didn't realize that there are short stems and there are medium stems and there are extra long stems. And Michael actually asked me if I had the extra long stems in, and I looked at it and I thought I had long stems because it wasn't a short stem. And so I pulled this medium stem out and put the tube in, and lo and behold, it wasn't long enough. I still tried to put CO2 in it. That didn't work. So it resulted in me having to take that tube out, put another tube in, and get that back on the bike. And now I'm like down to my last CO2 cartridge. And, if I screw up, I've used all my supplies now, last tube, last CO2 cartridge. So I get that in, proceeded to get the chain off, drag, anything that can go wrong at that point was going wrong. I was bent over in the same position for the whole time. So I got up, I was stiff, and I got on the bike, though. I got the air and the CO2 in the tire, and I went to the first aid station, which was at mile 17, and got off my bike and went over and filled it up with air as opposed to the CO2 because I was afraid that was going to drain out, and checked it out, and it seemed like everything was okay, and went on my way. By that time, my number was 12:14, that was my race number. By the time I got back on my bike, I was riding with numbers in the 1900s. So I was pretty far back. And certainly all the women in my age group were way ahead of me at that point. So it was a little demoralizing, to say the least, because I had felt so good. And, it was kind of like the day is somewhat, as far as doing well, was somewhat ruined. That's, of course, the first thing that went through my head. Second thing that went through my head is, I'm not injured. I'm perfectly fine. I get to ride my bike and run and be in an Ironman, so I'm perfectly fine. The day is not ruined. But what should be my plan of attack? And always know that if you go out too hard on the bike, then you don't have anything for the run. But, you know, I was kind of in a pickle, so I decided to see what I had and pushed the bike pretty hard. Took me probably 45, 50 miles before I saw my first woman athlete. So it took a long time to catch up to the pack and start, you know, seeing people. And I was encouraged when I finally saw people. At about mile 55, I started to have some cramps in my quads because I probably wasn't taking in the fluids that I should have been taking in because I was more concentrated on kind of catching people. And I knew the course going out is a little bit more hilly. You kind of climb going out, you kind of descends coming back, but it's rolling hills all the way. But nevertheless, I still felt pretty good. It went fast, you know, from the bike rides. I have to say that time really moved fast, and I had a good time. It's a really nice bike course through the country. You're in actually in Georgia after about 2 miles of the bike course. And so you're riding through farmland and Georgia and then back through Chickamauga, which is a historic Civil War battleground site, a little town. So I really like it, and I remembered a lot of the course. Came around, actually got off my bike, stretched out my quads, and decided that maybe I had talked about on previous podcasts that I decided to make my own little Lara bar balls, so to speak. So I had made balls with dates, cherries, raisins, some walnuts, a few cashews, a little matcha tea in there, a little cacao powder, some cacao nibs. Some of them had a little bit of mint in there. So I was eating those, but I only had like a pinch of salt because I'm so salt aversive. But I kind of realized that probably shit on this day had a little bit more sodium in there since that was primarily going to be my source of food. I did have one bottle of Scratch that I started with, a lemonade Scratch hydration drink. So I decided that, so my quad started cramping. I thought, well, maybe that's part of the problem. So I had a little Gatorade Endurance, which you don't like because that stuff has artificial coloring and everything, to the point where when I finished the race, the inside of my bottle was orange. And even when I put baking soda and vinegar in there, it still stayed orange. So I'm in the process of, you know, trying to get the orange out of it still. So I can't imagine what a bottle that does to your stomach. And if people drank that all day, what, you know, you're orange, I guess, inside. So that wasn't very exciting. But it seemed to help. But having been bent over the bike and changing that tire, my back spasmed. So I actually got off and stretched a little bit. Continued to pedal and finally got finished with the bike and went to run, and my hamstrings were tight from my back being tight. So I didn't have much of a pace. But I kept going. I didn't have to walk for any extended periods of time. I do a 3-minute walk, 30-second run, and I was able to do that the whole time. You know, even through the hills and it being pretty hilly, I just kind of stuck to that plan. I would stop at an aid station, fill up my bottle with ice, maybe have some Coke, an orange slice. And that's pretty much what I took on the run. I had some pretzels. One of the things that I did take with me is salt. I took some of those flat pretzels that they said, I don't know what the name of them are, and they come in a bag. But I had a little snack bag stuffed in my shirt with those for the bike, and then I had some for the run. But they really tasted good. They kind of settle your stomach. They absorb whatever acid's in there. They give you a little salt. So, you know, I'm a big fan of pretzels. I don't like, you know, I draw the line at the potato chips, too much oil for me. It just causes me indigestion, and I don't want that much grease. It's bad enough that you have a day of doing what you're doing, let alone put that stuff in. So I had the pretzels, and then I dropped half of the pretzels on the run. But that's kind of what I ate for the race, and just kind of counted the miles down, you know, 26, 25, one more mile, 24, and just, took it all in, tried to enjoy it. A little bit of discomfort. I felt overall that I was well-trained. Nothing was, you know, hurting terribly. My feet never hurt. My quads even didn't hurt horribly. You know, with every step I've had races, you know, every step, if you go downhill, it aches, and I didn't have any of that. Just didn't have much get up and go as far as, you know, hamstring or any gait, any stride length at all, because I was just pretty tight probably from the bike and being bent over and all that back spasm stuff. So that slowed me down a little bit, but I finished okay. Finished with a smile. Finished feeling pretty good. You know, I don't drink Coke or any sodas on a regular basis, only in an Ironman. And so that's, you know, that stuff is pretty nasty too. So if you put that orange Gatorade and Coke and orange slices and a couple goose together, it's like a bad day on a bad Halloween night, you know, way too much sugar and caffeine and all that other kind of stuff. So I was a little bit nauseated at the end. Didn't really want much to do with anything. But overall, it was a good day. It was hot. You know, I drink fluid when I'm thirsty. I keep drinking fluid little bits at a time, but it's just really hard to stay hydrated after a while. So I you know, was definitely on the dry side when I finished, but it was good. I saw somebody. I'd like to say a shout out to the person who said, "Hey, Dr. Delaney, I listened to your podcast on the bridge. I was going across the wooden bridge, walking a pedestrian bridge first time, and I got a shout out." So that made me feel good. It quickened my pace a little bit. So that was real good. So enjoyed it all. Chattanooga's a really good town to be plant-based. There was a vegan restaurant, and a shout-out to, I believe it's called Cashews was the name of the restaurant. I almost said Chestnuts, but it's Cashews. And went there the day we got in on Friday and had a salad with kale and buffalo tofu and red beans and rice and a yogurt deal. Sauce with soy yogurt and dill, so it was really tasty. I'd had that there before, and I had it again. And there was a Mediterranean restaurant called Tzatziki's, and we went there and had grilled vegetables and a pita and hummus and a salad, a mixed green salad with red peppers and chickpeas and a few pecans and tomatoes and a vinegar. So that was really good. We travel by car to get to this from Florida. So we went up through Atlanta. My mom went with us and dropped her off at my registered dietitian, Addie Delaney Meinerich, and my strength coach, Nathan Meinerich. Thank you both. And so my mom stayed with them, and we spent the night and had a veggie pizza on the way and a big giant salad. And the next morning, their registered dietitian made us pancakes with pumpkin pancakes and a big fruit bowl to send us on our way. So that was really, really good. And then while we were there at the night before the race, I made a pasta in with a tomato sauce, mushrooms, and zucchini in the Instant Pot in the hotel room. So that was what we had, and we'd had a salad earlier, and then had some fruit. I brought apples and grapes with us, so we did good on nutrition. Had oatmeal. They had an oatmeal bar at the hotel both days, so was able to add our fruit to. I brought some dried apples and dried bananas and raisins, and some homemade granola. And we added that to their oatmeal. So that was good for hotel breakfast. One thing that I brought with me that I didn't try, but I tried today when I got home, is that I had dehydrated rice. I made some brown rice at home and then spread it out on the dehydrator sheets and dried it and put that in a baggie and brought with me, thinking that, you know, I could just rehydrate that if we wanted. But we didn't end up using it, but I did today, and so I was able to rehydrate that with some hot water in 3 minutes, and I had perfectly good brown basmati rice for lunch. So, you know, anybody that's traveling and you're worried about what you can do as far as taking food, and you have a dehydrator, you could do it in the oven just on a very low setting. Would be to do some dehydrated foods. You could, you know, make a soup or, you know, red beans and rice and throw vegetables in there and then just rehydrate it like you're camping. So at least you'd have one meal, you know, along the way. You know, traveling by car, we had, you know, the homemade granola. I had a couple of the Vin bars. We had fruit, you know, fresh fruit, as well as some dehydrated fruit that I dehydrated the apples in the bananas. So that's kind of a good snack as we're traveling. We stopped at a Thai restaurant on the way up, and on the way back, we stopped at a Jamaican restaurant and had some really good vegan food. So that was exciting. Some nice spicy Jamaican food on the way back. Some grilled tofu and plantains and tomatoes and onions, and zucchini. So that was a nice treat coming back. So we'll put that on our radar. We use Happy Cow app to find restaurants when we're traveling. You know, and a lot of times we'll just look. You know, you don't find much if you're looking for vegan sometimes. But if you just say some vegan or vegetarian options, then you can find the restaurant and then, you know, speak with them when you get there, and they can usually, you know, help you out. Michael has an onion allergy. And so, you know, we will say, can you just, you know, do some grilled tempeh and tomato and lettuce, and, you know, you can add spice, you can add some of the hot sauces that you have, as opposed to, you know, the marinades that typically have onions in them. So they're more than willing to work with us. So that's always something to think about. You know, a shout out to the Happy Cow people. Maybe we'll have to have them on the podcast at some time. I didn't even bother going into the finisher's food tent afterwards. I heard they had some pizza and potato chips and things like that. So, you know, I was a little bit nauseated anyway, but certainly that's not something that I would be looking forward to. One of the nice things that Iron Man does is it gives, instead of having a pasta dinner before the race, they partner with local restaurants, so they give you a food voucher that you can spend $25 wherever you want at a restaurant. So it helps a variety of the local restaurants. And so, you know, for people that are plant-based, it's nice to be able to support restaurants that support us. Again, that Tzatziki's Mediterranean restaurant was so very helpful and friendly and accommodating for, you know, being plant-based and, you know, not adding oil and, you know, just having a vinegar and grilled vegetables. They didn't appear to be oily, and a little pita bread seemed fine too. So nothing, I didn't find anything to be tremendously greasy at all. So that was really, really good. At this, you know, the aid stations for the bike and the run, it was nice because they had a variety of, you know, they had bananas and oranges and grapes and pretzels. So that would be, you know, pretty fine. Or it's great food for the run and the ride. They also carry Clif products, which are usually vegan. So that all worked out really good. I found the rolling start to be, I was afraid that we were all going to be bunched up and it wouldn't be like a parade and you couldn't ride at your own pace, or it would be dangerous because people would be in packs. The rule of Ironman is there has to be 6 bike lengths between you and the person in front of you. And if you go to pass somebody, you have 25 seconds to get in front of them, and then they have to drop back. You can't be out there just kind of coasting on them and drafting on them or out in the middle of nowhere. And I didn't see a lot. You always see some, but I didn't see a lot of people that were really drafting or doing that. And it seemed to spread out pretty quickly. It was probably to some advantage to me that I was with the 40, you know, turns out that I was probably in the group of 40-year-old men when I was riding my bike. So it made it really easy for me to spread out from them and not get, you know, stacked up. So that made it, you know, really nice. You know, it was a bit of a head game because obviously from the very beginning, my race wasn't going to go as planned. It's a little bit difficult when you put all your eggs in one basket. We only race one Ironman race a year. We race a lot of other running races, marathons and half marathons, but that's the only Ironman we do in the year. So all the training is for one race. So it's a little bit disappointing when things start to not go as planned. First, the swim. You know, I think that I have, you know, I like the swim part. I'm comfortable in the water. So, you know, it's not a disadvantage of to having a swim at all for me, and it doesn't wear me out. So it, you know, it might be a little bit advantageous for me to have a swim. And then, of course, you know, to have a flat tire on the bike course and to be that far behind is a little demoralizing, because the question is, you know, what do you do from there? Do you just, you know, be disappointed all day? Of course not. You know, just for a little bit, then get over it. But I, you know, I think that, you know, it's a good lesson that there are, you know, I think that's why I like Ironman races and endurance racing so much. It's not just about the actual physical running and riding and swimming. It's about the mental aspect of the game and what goes wrong. It's a lot like life. A lot of things go wrong. You don't know what's going to go wrong, but something usually does at some point. And you have to come up with a plan, and you don't have a whole lot of options, you know, or a lot of time to devise a plan. when I lost, you know, when I used all my tubes and cartridges, CO2 cartridges, you know, my thought was, you know, what am I going to do if I have another flat? And in riding, you see some on the ground, and I almost thought about stopping and picking up and trying to restock, you know, but it's, you know, at some point you just got to, you know, I made it 17 miles, the tire was holding, I was pretty sure that I would be all right. I talked to, there was somebody at the aid station, they asked if I needed the support van to look at my bike or anything, so I was pretty confident that I was going to be okay. But I just, you know, was hoping that, you know, I didn't get another flat. You know, we've trained for years. It's probably been 3 or 4 years since we had a flat tire while we were riding. And, you know, again, we put new tires, new tubes, had the bike serviced. The other thing that happened, the week before the race, before we left, I took my bike to my local bike shop just to have my chain measured to make sure that my chain was not wearing out. Because again, the hills that, you know, we're not used to riding here, if you stand up, you could break a chain. And I also have DI2 shifters, which are electronic shifters. So he went to look to see whether or not he could do an upgrade on my shifters. And turns out that the stem on my handlebars was cracked. And there wasn't a replacement. He didn't have a spare part, and we were leaving the next day. And luckily, the bike shop was able to take one from the other bike, another bike in the shop, and trade it out. So, you know, we started out with that, but we thought we had all the mechanicals taken care of. But you just never know what's going to happen. So that's again part of the game is coming up with another plan. It had been a great Cinderella story if I would have been able to hang on and bike up and catch people and run like the wind and catch them, but that just didn't happen. I don't think it's really any, you know, I don't have any regrets about my training. I think that I, you know, it really went well. You know, I have had a few niggles going in. I was starting to have a little bit of hamstring tightness the last couple of weeks. It was just that, you know, I was getting to the point where I'd had enough for this training cycle and it was time to taper. But I think that was good. I think the weight training helped me tremendously. It is now Wednesday and the race was Sunday, and I jogged this morning. I have very little soreness and essentially feel recovered. So I really attribute that to the weight training and plant-based nutrition, of course. But I have to say that and of course we didn't have the swim, but I do feel really good and recovered. I'm not excessively tired or anything, and I'll attribute that to what was a little bit later start. We didn't have to have the 3 a.m. start, but nevertheless, it was, you know, we had some busy days beforehand and a long drive afterwards, and, you know, I'm no worse for wear for it. So I really do attribute it to the training, the weight training, and, you know, what I did as far as the prep for the running and biking. And I've talked before, during the week I bike on a trainer using a Zwift app and do my climbing that way. We're in Florida. I do some hill, you know, elevated hills on a treadmill. Otherwise, I run outside. I run with my dogs because I love running with my dogs in the morning. So at least 50% of my runs, maybe not quite 50%, are with my dogs at a slower pace than I normally go, just because I'm running with two dogs in the morning and it's hot here in Florida and I don't want them to overheat. So I usually run, you know, if I run 6, I run 3, 3.5 with them, and then I'll finish up. So, you know, could I have done more running training and drills and all that, and compromise running with my dogs and the peace of being at the early morning? Yeah, probably. Would I change that? No, I really do like to run. I'd rather give up time on an Ironman and pace than not run with my dogs. That's part of why I run. So, you know, that's a compromise that I'm willing to, you know, not willing to make. You know, I'm busy working and doing podcasts and blog posts and speaking. So there's not much more time to train, nor do I really have the time to. I enjoy, we again do the garden and do a lot of yard work. So I really don't have any regrets as far as, you know, what I did train. When I looked around at the athletes, there was a woman in the 70 to 74 age group that finished, and I believe that there was a man in the 70 to 74 age group. Two men in the 70 to 74 age group that finished the race. I thought that was remarkable. They both looked good. fair amount of people in the 50 age group and 60s age group. So that's nice. You know, sometimes, again, when everybody goes off together in the swim, sometimes you're all separated and you don't know where people are, and you can feel a little bit lonely as far as your age go. But I think there's still a fair amount of older people that are out there doing it, which is great. You see all shapes and sizes, and people that have done a lot of endurance racing and people that hardly haven't done any. Sometimes this is a bucket list thing, one and done. I think there's the nutrition is the key that I wish people paid more attention to. A lot of people have great will to force their body along the distance of Ironman. But I think that it is a danger when you're carrying a lot of extra weight just to do that, to prove to yourself that you can mentally go through and do it. I would love to be involved with anyone that, you know, wanted to get more fit for their endurance events through plant-based nutrition. I think that it's a game changer with regards to inflammation. You know, we know that osteoarthritis is largely inflammation. A lot of back injuries, you know, just healing from the day-to-day grind of swim, bike, and run. There's inflammation that's generated. You're not going to get rid of that if you're adding more on top of it with your diet, you know, that's rich in animal protein and dairy. So even if your caloric intake, you can match your caloric intake with your exercise and say, well, I can eat what I want because I'm training. It's much, much more than weight. It's about your health. It's about your vasculature. We know from studies that when you eat oil, whether it's from, associated with the fat of an animal meat, or it's olive oil, or it's cooking oil in the form of French fries, or oil in the form of cheese on the pizza, that causes your blood vessels to constrict. It can constrict from 4 to 6 hours until you eat something again. It causes, chronic inflammation as well in the blood vessels. But just getting the blood flow to your tissues in the form of healing is decreased. So, if you're going to push your body through, these very long endurance events, I really think that the nutrition has to be a key in training and preparation after, and, as much during the race as you can. I really liked that we went to the dates and raisins and dried cherries for the nutrition, with some walnuts and some few peanuts on the mint and the matcha powder and the cacao nibs. A lot of antioxidants in there, as well as the sugars, some fiber in there that delayed the glucose being taken, just draining from the blood. And so I think that, worked out. I didn't have any lows whatsoever with sugar lows or sugar highs or shakes. I really didn't have any belly pain or cramping. I just was nauseated after the race from heat dehydration. And again, the Coca-Cola, that was just kind of a way to get sugar and some caffeine in. Not the best in the world, but, that's what I did for, the last 3 hours of the race, 4 hours of the race. So, I certainly won't be doing any more Coca-Cola till I do another Ironman. I want to give a shout out to the members that from the practice that watched online, the live feed that followed along to make sure that their doctor was going to make it back. I really do appreciate the support and encouragement. I had some friends, Linda and Lou Albert, that were there, came back from their Colorado vacation via Chattanooga to stop and watch us through part of the course. So I appreciate the support. It's always nice having somebody around. So it was all good. It's such a positive atmosphere. A lot of healthy people, a lot of happy people. I was taken back by the race director. There's usually a guy named Mike Riley that, if you've ever watched the Iron Man on TV, he's the one that says, "You are an Iron Man." He was not there, as one of his associates was there this year. But, you know, he said, you know, it's a privilege that, you know, we're able to do these events. There's a little discomfort, but not near the discomfort of what some people face every day. And we live in a country that allows us to play and do these races and have these events. And, you know, we were in Tennessee and Georgia, and the people of those areas were very, very pleasant and happy to have us. A lot of good vibes, especially in times where, you know, sometimes the media displays negativity and divisiveness among us. But, you know, truly we're a bunch of happy people just trying to play and have a good day and push their bodies to where they could push them. And accept the challenge and grow as a human, both in your mind and your body. So it was an honor to be able to have that opportunity, and I do appreciate that. And we'll never, you know, be bummed about how a race turns out. It's not how I make a living. It is what it is. And try to do the best that you can with what you have that day and go on. And we're going to sign up again. We'll sign up for Ironman Chattanooga for next year because it's a great location. And it's nice that we can drive to it. So that'll be our next Ironman race. You know, perhaps we'll do a shorter one to maybe help us get a little bit more, you know, swim, bike, run prepared. Maybe, maybe not. We have ultras planned. The next race up, though, we just have a marathon, and we're doing the California International Marathon in December. And so that'll be the next race, and then a holiday half in the Clearwater area to follow that. And then the only thing on the books at this stage will be Asheville half and whole marathon, and we'll try to find an ultra in the meantime. But that's kind of the plans for now as far as my endurance running. Anybody knows a good ultra that they like, and 50K or 50 miler that they'd like to recommend, I'd like to hear from you because we're looking for one. Doesn't matter where it is, really. Always interested in finding it. If anybody's looking to help have someone help them with their nutrition, then, you know, give me a call or email me. Check out the website at drdelaney.com. I'd love to help you be the healthiest person you can when you get to the start line of a race or an adventure or even just to travel. I think it's important. You know, it was just fabulous being outside all day. You know, a day that you get to play outside all day is just wonderful. I've listened to other podcasts when they've interviewed people that, you know, run hundreds of miles, and they talk about it being meditative. But it's kind of nice. You're on a bike and, you know, sometimes swim, bike, and run, the usual, all day long. You don't say a lot. You know, I ran with some people for a little bit, and we had some conversations or, you know, short sentence here, sentence there. But for the most part, it's a day of solitude. It's a day that you just have with your own thoughts. And it's kind of nice to clear your head and, look at the trees. It was a beautiful ride out into the country. Look at the countryside. See the people, see the faces, see the families interact. So it's a nice, nice, positive day. And I would encourage anybody to become involved in endurance sports. It's just a very positive activity. When people, you know, late into the night are cheering for people that they don't even know and wanting to high five you, that's just a nice feeling to be a part of such a wonderful group of people. So I do appreciate it all. Shout out to Ironman. They do a fabulous job at putting these events on. You know, I mean, a lot of stuff goes into it. Again, very positive people. So I enjoy it and keep doing it. Hopefully, you know, someday I'll be still doing this podcast and still be doing Ironmans when, you know, it's like I'm the oldest one in the age group. That would be just okay. So that's the plan. It was nice that I came home to my tower garden with about 5 eggplants hanging from it. I picked enough greens from my tower garden between collards and leaf lettuce to have for my lunch today, so that was pretty cool. We're starting getting some blooms out back, some papayas on our trees starting. We have a sugar apple that's in full bloom right now, so hopefully we'll get some fruit on there. And it's just about garden season. So it's time we have some peppers starting to grow, some herbs starting to grow, a few tomatoes starting to grow, a few little tomatoes on the vine. So, start to plant more out in the garden, work in the backyard, do some landscaping and, enjoy the winter season for, growing vegetables here in Florida. That's about ready to start, you know, and this time of year, which starts to cool off just a little bit in the morning. So we have that change in temperature that allows the young plants to survive. I often talk about, you know, what fruit I've got going on. You know, obviously, down here we can get papayas pretty good. Papayas are great for your digestion. Mango season is over. We do have frozen mangoes that I make sorbet out of and thaw out. But it's, you know, apple season. We're getting apples down here as everybody else is. So I kind of switched my fruits to the fruit of the season. Plums are starting to be good. You know, I just picked up some persimmons today. So I was really excited. That's probably after mangoes, my next favorite fruit. Dragon fruit are in a little bit. My dragon fruit tree is not producing yet, but I did pick up a dragon fruit to have. Grapes are in season. So I'd encourage you to, you know, kind of go with the season so you don't really get tired of any one fruit and experiment with different fruits in different combinations. I think that's a great way to go. I grew up cooking and eating Irish Italian food and, you know, liked Mexican food, discovered Indian food, all plant-based. And, you know, now we had some fabulous Jamaican food that was Indian with some great spices, some Scotch bonnet peppers. So now I want to grow Scotch bonnet peppers and start cooking with plantains. I actually did that tonight. So I came home and went to my local vegetable market and got some yellow plantains and some zucchini and tomatoes, and I made a corn tortilla and put those in with some hot pepper spices and did my anti-inflammation soup, which is a miso based soup with roasted onion and roasted garlic and some tofu and mushrooms. So that was my dinner tonight, and so it's all good. We're going to have some guests on in the next couple of weeks, so you won't have to listen to me yak into the wind and talk with my friend Vinny here, who's sitting beside me, Vinny the cat, and Gretchen the dog, who you heard bark, and Sammy the dog, who's been pretty quiet. I do appreciate you all listening. I'd love to hear from you when you have any questions. Again, you can email me at jamie@drdelaney.com. It's jami@drdelaney.com. And I love when you see me and you shout out my name. It makes me feel good. I'm glad you're listening. And stay healthy. Get out and enjoy some of the sunlight and enjoy positive people. Be around them as much as you possibly can. Thanks for listening.